or tape CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Friday evening, November the 28th, 2008. Carl Fox is a speaker of the evening teaching on Time to Draw Near to God. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
To get close to God. Folks, please, if you can't remember anything else about me, Carl said get close to God, all right? It is so important. Because then when the pressure's on, tonight, if Glenn hadn't been so busy, God might have told him to slow down or wait 5 minutes before he left. He's got a thousand things going at once. So guess what? The angel says, all right, let's put him on my way. But see, that's how it works. You know, I think my guardian angel, the first thing's going to happen when I meet him face to face, he's going to slap me. Because I've been waiting for this. Bah! You know? And yours probably will too. God bless him. Yes. Amen. And he can slap us if he wants. Because they got a hard job. But see, there are so many things that stacked in our favor. I know I'm getting long-winded. Forgive me. Love me. You got to do that. To hold fast, verse 24, and let us consider one another to what? To provoke. Provoke, that's a bad word, isn't it? No, it depends on what for. Provoke on to love and to what? Good works. See, that's what we need to do to one another. See, now, you tell me where competition comes in there. It can't. If you're doing that, there can't be competition. There's not supposed to be competition between ministries, but you know why they compete? Dirty, filthy stuff called money. It's not right, folks. Please, let's stay close to God, and we don't have to compete. We don't have to compete. You know, we work for the same God. Amen? And I'll tell you what. We come alongside each other and move through anything together. It don't make any difference. If we love God and we hold fast to the promises of God and we don't waver, and then the two of us get together on something like that, I got news for you. Them demons are going to run. And the ones that have been commanded to stay will have to leave. When you, in faith, rebuke a demon and tell him to leave, he's looking in there. If he can find any doubts, he's not looking for your sin. You've got that. Unless you just fell on your knees. I mean, we sin. Just doubting is a sin. All right? But what he's looking for, he's looking for unbelief. I remember one time I was visiting these people, and they had a little 3.5-year-old daughter, and there was a mean dog in the neighborhood. And the dog chased her. He was a biter. And she was really afraid, and her mother prayed for her. Spoke a little bit to her, and she says, now, Amy, you go out and tell that dog to get out of the yard in the name of Jesus Christ. She couldn't even say doggy. She said, Dottie. She went out there, and she said, Dottie, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here! And the dog tailed to its leg and ran. You know why? Because the demon in that dog, that was Jesus in his face. See, you got power, but you got to just hold fast and go for it. Anyway, this is, I'm going to keep going. This is verse 25, says, don't forsake the fellowshipping together. You need that. Oh, I got a good relationship with Jesus. I don't need to go. I know it's hard to find a church that believes in God. All right? Keep looking. Start one. You don't have to have a building. In the book of Acts, a couple people got together under a shade tree and praised the Lord. That was church. But you fellowship together with saints. Like-minded believers, like-minded you can get. You need it, all right? You can't tell me that you got a good relationship with Jesus and you ain't hung out with saints. Because he's the head, we're the body. They're a bunch of amputees. Don't do that, folks. I know the meanest people there are is religious Christians. They're worse than a demon. They are demonic. Okay? Those are religious demons. But you know, Jesus could love the unlovable. And he said, we can do it. But don't let that drive you away. Find some people. There's a lot of stuff in there, but I want to move on. Go back to chapter 4, verse 14. This is, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, our confession. See? That's why you hold fast to it. Somebody told you you had to have great faith, didn't they? It's a good idea. But if you hold fast to your confession, realizing that Jesus Christ is your high priest, you'll make her through with weak faith, and your faith will grow. But it's a very important key. It's all about relationship. And it says, see that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast to our profession. Or I like to say confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with feelings of our infirmities. Jesus bore them all. We're talking intimacy, folks. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is crying out for, is intimacy. I have people that... I got a neat little trick that works. And I've never seen it fail, except for people who won't do it. But you get all alone. Religion says that you can't speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy unless at least two or three are there, you know, and all that. Well, you got God and Jesus and a million angels. And you, okay? And I like down the mountain, and I shundalaki ayato sasha sundalikipi atai yiko andalakai yeso shistalaki nahete yihon nikipi alatani poshasalaki teshanonaki. Know, my children, that I, your God, walk with you. Know, I love you. Know, I have never, ever held anything back from you. You are so precious. I gave up the only thing that I really valued for you. Well, you do that 10, 15 times in a row, and he keeps giving you a fresh message. You know what happens? You start to get embarrassed. And you catch yourself blushing. But it works. There's a lot of good about this. It helps me because, for one thing, I start to recognize how he communicates with me. Okay? Makes it harder for a deceiving spirit to try to counterfeit him. But all of a sudden, pretty soon, I'm about 10 foot tall. You know, he just said I was barely sliced bread. See, build that relationship. And if that, and don't give me excuse, I don't speak in tongues. You do, you just haven't done it maybe. Same thing in interpretation. It's so easy, you just speak in tongues. And when the tongue stops, you speak first English word and the rest just flow. It's so simple. It's easier than riding a bike. It just works, folks. And everybody that's born again has all nine of those manifestation gifts. All nine of them. You know, it isn't, you got this one, you got that one, you might have one day. It's a bunch of stuff. It's there, and it helps you in your relationship. So if you're not speaking in tongues, get together with some tongue talkers that know the Bible. We had an 87-year-old lady showed up at church. She'd been a Methodist all her life. Well, in the early days, when she was a little child, they were tongue talkers. You know, my grandpa was a Methodist pioneer. He risked his life out in the North Dakota prairies in a buckboard in the middle of winter, because that's when the ranchers didn't have nothing to do. Tough guy. But you know what? I've been around, and because we don't have a church service very often that there isn't tongues of interpretation and prophecy. It's pretty rare when it don't happen. And So she's a little bit stirred up about it. But she's 87 years old. Beautiful lady. And so I just went over and anointed her, just like it says in the Bible. But I asked her, do you want to speak in tongues? Well, I said, I didn't ask if you want to be afraid. I'm not. I said, I asked you, if it's God's will for you to speak in tongues, will you do it? And she says, yes, I have my Bible right there. That's what it said. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, just speak without thinking. Just let your tongue and your apparatus of speech move and don't think. And man, a beautiful language starts coming out. It was so beautiful and she's crying. And I says, now in the name of Jesus Christ, interpret it. The first time she spoke in tongues at 87 years old, she interpreted. And she was crying and she was blessed. Man, she's bringing people all the time to get that Holy Ghost stuff, you know? We don't need to be afraid of it. It's a real thing. It's real, folks. Trying to figure out. All right. Well, let's go to the familiar scripture. It's all been familiar, I'm sure, but Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Folks, we got to do everything that we can do to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to get it. Get it now. You need to devote yourself. If he's Lord, he's boss. If he's Lord and he says jump, you should say how high. We've got to quit messing around and being religious, folks. Because, see, the greatest deliverance there is, as far as I'm concerned, is getting rid of religion. To me, that is the greatest, because, you know, godliness is what you're called to be, is godly. You know what religion is? People trying to pull God down to their comfort zone. That's what religion is. We don't need that. And if you've been caught in it, get rid of it. Get rid of it, folks. There's so much fun serving God. I mean, it's a riot. I have fun. I have people that go with me that have been on mission trips with other people. And what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to build a church. They think it's a dumb building. You know what building a church is? It's the people. You know, go into a village that they've never even heard of Jesus Christ. Get a bunch of gypsies playing their zambal and their accordions. And can they play the violin? And sing. And the next thing you know, the whole village shows up. It's party time. And do a salvation message. Go out and find somebody that's really sick. Really sick, you know. I love wheelchairs. They were the ones to get, you know. Because I get crazy. I get crazy and I just say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Name of Jesus Christ. Get out of that chair. I've never had one fall. Amen. Include you. Folks, God won't let them fall. You say, that's crazy. Well, it probably is. And sometimes I think afterwards, I can't believe I did that. But you know what? You got their attention. That's building a church. They need a building. Let them do it. Seriously. The church, the ecclesia, or ecclesia, however you pronounce it, is the body of Christ. That's where it's at. But you go out there. You know, that's the idea. Now, sometimes the whole village don't come, but sometimes they do. You know, I remember one time we were, you know, they just load me up sometimes. I kind of feel like I'm a trained monkey or something. I just go. If I got the time, I just go. And we go to this village, and it was dark. I mean, there's a lot of witchcraft there. They got some real pros. And anyway, some of them are dead because they come against me. They didn't come against me, they come against God. And I'll call a showdown. But anyway, that's what happened that night. These people, and the man told me, he says, here's my church. I've been building this church. We had this little building he was building. I said, that's great, let's meet the people. Well, they're out there. I don't know which ones they are yet, you know. So, anyway, we had a little music and drew a crowd, and the witch, half a block down, started putting on her show. I mean, this woman was calling down fire from heaven. And she was making dogs go crazy. She was showing her power. And everybody left. I had a brother with me in training, and he was speaking, and they're all leaving. I said, just keep going. Just speak it out. Don't quit. By the time we got done, everybody was down there except for about 8 or 9 people. And I told him, I says, you know what? I said, shame on you. You let your family and loved ones go down there. That's death. This is life. That's insanity. This is sanity. That's health destroyed. This is health restored. And I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In 10 minutes, we're going to close that gate and you can't come in. You got 10 minutes to get your family down here. And I mean it. We ain't going to mess with you. You want witchcraft? Hallelujah. I'm moving on. I'm a Christian. I don't need it. I already got it. Don't mess around. You got 10. What are you standing there for? I told you, 10 minutes. The clock is moving. Boy, they took off, you know. And she was really cursing. And they got afraid. And I said, in English, in the name of Jesus Christ, choke on your words. And she was down clutching the grass, choking and gagging. I don't know if she lived or died. I didn't care. I didn't look. She worked for the other side. You know? But boy, she is down, and the people come back. And that night, he had more people than he had room in his church. You know? I said, now we've got to find some people to help you so you can have a lot of services. But see, don't back down. Don't back down. It's people say, well, what will happen? I'm afraid to tell them they get out of the wheelchair because what if they don't? That's not my problem. I'm not in a wheelchair. But it's my problem if I don't tell them they can get out. Well, what if they don't? That's not faith for me to even go there. They do. If you in faith, you grab somebody that's in a wheelchair and you do it in faith, don't try to make something happen. But I tell you what, sometimes I get fired up. You ain't never seen me fired up. Just see me getting kindled. But sometimes I get fired up, man, and I look for those kind of things. And in the name of Jesus Christ, because there's no more theological discussions. All right? Now you're down to the brass tacks. You offer salvation and every hand goes up. Folks, things might get tough in this country, and that's how we will work them. All right? But in tough countries, that's how we do it. I go to Bermuda, too. It's not tough. It's very affluent. But I have the witches. And to tell you what, we have our showdowns. And you know what? When you're on God's side, you always win. First time I went, we had a big showdown. And he came the next day and showed me his Learjet. And he says, I'll fly you all over the world so you can give your message. And I said, nah, I like Northwest Airlines, thank you. And he took me and showed me his yacht. Really? It's big, beautiful, ocean-going yacht. He says, I can even help you load it with food, and we can take it to the port. I said, no, thank you. And then he talked to me about not working right with protocol. I said, I can't even spell that word. Who are you trying to kill? Well, the next time I went back, he wasn't there. He was in New York calling shots. And he was a pastor, one of the biggest churches on the island. Trying to be Christian. He's not anymore. Because God will take him down if you've got enough guts to face him down. But what happens if they kill you? I got eternal life. Seriously. We have got to get tough. I'm not bragging. I'm testifying about the greatness of God. If we will hold fast to our profession. Alright? This is absolutely possible. It's a reality. I said Mark in the chapter 11. We're real familiar with this scripture, but I just want to look at it again. 23:22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have God's faith. If he said it, it's available. Alright? He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever say on this mountain, whatever your mountain is, You know, if your gizzard's giving you trouble, or your hip is out of joint, or your head's out of joint, whatever. Okay, that's your mountain. Say unto that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and will not doubt. No, it says shall not. See, shall is a legal term, folks. I don't like that will stuff. You get a court document, it never says you will do something, it says you shall. I love King James because they had enough guts to say it the way it should be. Theologians for 200 years been arguing about the difference between will and shall. I ask you guys to go ahead and argue, you know. I know shall. But it says shall not doubt. Because, see, doubt is sin. We all fall into it too, don't we? The doubt in his heart, in his soul, see? He's not talking about just what if this doesn't happen, folks. He's talking about doubt in your heart, your soul. That's the part I talked about, that you need to fill it full of will and give it to God. That's what he's talking about. Don't doubt in your soul. Don't let it. That's what Satan's after, is your soul. You know, you bring somebody salvation, you didn't save their soul. That was a spiritual connection. They got a battle for that soul. And Satan's going to fight them. Because the more of that soul that he can hold power over, the less reward you have in eternity, the less your reward is. There is a difference between the soul and the spirit, folks. It isn't just spelled different and spoken different. They are not the same. God, because your will is a big portion of your soul, and God wants you to submit your will to him. And fight it through. Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't give up. Believe in it. But shall believe these things which he saith shall come to pass. And he shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. John 15, Jesus said, if you dwell in me, as I dwell in you, you can have what you say. Folks, this is really the truth. This didn't die with the apostles. This is really the truth. It died with people full of unbelief. Let's not be them. It's really important. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's right after chapter 11. I know that. There we go. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to Christians, okay? He's talking to the sister, too. All right? But he says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God. You know what mercy is? You deserve a whooping, and God says, that's okay. That's mercy. See? And he's calling to you by not the grace of God even. Paul is calling to you by the mercies of God. This is something to pay attention to. It's the mercies of God that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. The voice of the martyrs, you know what that really means? Some die. But we're called to be a living sacrifice. If you die, hallelujah. You die for the Lord, what a deal. But he wants you to be a living sacrifice, a living martyr, a living witness. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's a reasonable thing he asked. But listen to this. This is a warning. He says, be not conformed to this world. You know what being conformed to this world is? That's being conformed. That's what Satan wants to do to you. You get a picture of it? I'll pick it up later. That's being conformed to this world. That's what Satan's trying to do to every one of us. Get it deep in your heart. Don't let loose of it. He's trying to crush you, manipulate you, destroy you, deceive you, insane you. Steal, kill, and destroy you? Paul just begged you. Don't be conformed to this world. I will clean that up, okay? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know that. You know how you do that? You obey. That's it. Obey. That's it, folks. Obey. It's not a big, heavy thing. The word metamorphize in Greek, it's like the worm obeys, it's time to make a cocoon and get inside. And he don't make himself into a butterfly or she. God does it because of the obedience. The worm obeyed. Talks about the faith of a mustard seed. I got news for you. Mustard seeds don't have faith. But a mustard seed obeys. You planted it, it dies and becomes a tree. Okay? See, we're talking about obedience here. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. I have people come up to me when I do meetings and, oh, brother, would you pray that I could know what the will of God is? I says, would you please read the Bible? You know? I don't have time for that prayer and you got 400 people in mind. Sometimes it just don't work. Perfect will of God. Right there. You know, 3 John 2. Beloved, my greatest wish for you is that you prosper in health and be in health, even as your soul. Your soul prospers, see? Your soul prospering. See, that's how you receive those things. You fight that fight of faith. You protect that soul. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul is saying, to every man that is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I've been bragging on God all night, and I haven't bragged on me. You know, give glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, anything whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. That the Father get the glory. See, that's the key. Give God the glory. But think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I don't have time to touch on this tonight, but I can tell you this. Some of you know this. You have the same faith as Jesus Christ. I can prove it right in the Bible, but I'm not going to. I'm leaving tomorrow. Somebody else will have to. But it's the truth, folks. So how much of that faith am I using? Well, what do you do with faith? You put it in a suitcase in a vault? You believe, right? See, that's what the work of faith is to believe. You know what believing is? You step out. Like I said, Sheila, man, she can go to Walmart. I don't like shop, but she gets me there sometimes. But she disappears. I'm like, oh, what's this woman doing to me? Next thing I know, she shows up with a bunch of sick people. We have church, Walmart, and invariably a bunch of other people join in. You know, I mean, that's what you call the Wally World Church. I mean, what a deal. Because, see, it's going where you're at and moving. I mean, she's got the gift of an evangelist. She can't keep her mouth shut about Jesus Christ. And true evangelism isn't great big meetings. Boy, it's on the street. It's in the shopping center. It's where you are. Everybody going to hear about Jesus. That's evangelism. We're all called to evangelize. Some people are evangelists. But I think because of time, I'm going to shut it down here. Some other things I'd like to touch on. But my exhortation to you is, first of all, believe me, I love you. I really love you. I don't know when I'll get back. It's been a long time in between trips and a lot of things happen. But I love you. And I'll never forget you. I might not remember your name, I don't know. But I won't forget you, all right? But please, 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 what I shared, do it. All right? Try it. Prove me wrong. And if I'm wrong, send me an email. Call me up. Yeah. But folks, this really works. And it's about relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason our country is going to hell in a handcart, whatever that means, I keep hearing it all the time, but it's going down without a miracle. It's going to bottom. But you know what? If we'll trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, He will direct our path and He'll lead us through. And you know, we talk about storing food and things like that. It's a good idea. But I'll tell you what, you want your food to spoil, just refuse to feed a hungry person. All right? You know, the reason the Bible says in Ephesians, the reason we work is so we have to give to those that have need. And I know that ministry-wise, when we see a need coming, we look around for somebody to give to. We really do. It really works. It really works. It just doesn't fail. You can't outgive God. But you can get stingy, and you can get bound up, and you can get choked up with unbelief and watch everything around you shrivel up and die. But folks, if we will do, and I won't say you, I'll say we, because I'm talking to Carl too. But if we will obey God, and if we will have compassion, I'm not talking about sympathy and giving some druggie enough to get himself another pop or whatever it is they call it. I'm talking about, but you know, sometimes they even need help. I remember one accosted me nearly going in the grocery store. So I said, all right, lady, come with me, you know. She's my money, but it's real irritating. But I'm saying, you know, I'm looking, so she knew I had money. And I went over and I bought her, they have a deli in there, you know. I bought a whole bunch of fried chicken, biscuits, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Went up and she's still working me for money. And I paid for it, and the clerk is looking at me, you know. I says, here, it's for you. That's all you're getting. She wasn't wanting that. But you know what? Then I went and got the stuff Sheila asked me to pick up. And when I came out, there was a family standing there, crying. And they said, bless you, sir. We were really hungry. See? Because she didn't want it, but she had enough decency. She knew somebody that needed it. You know what? That lady will be rewarded for her giving. Isn't that a beautiful thing? See, don't shut up the bowels of your compassion. All right? And don't be a fool. You just walk it out. But I personally, if I'm going to make a mistake, I'd rather make a mistake or an error on the side of mercy than hardness of heart. I'll tell you what, before Jesus got a hold of me, I had a PhD of hardness of heart. It didn't do me any good, or anybody else. But we've got to care, all right? Let's care for one another, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I lift these people to you. They're your family. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you just lift them up. You know the problems. You know them better than they do, Father. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I just speak God's mercy, love, grace, abundance, every need to be fulfilled in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father. I'm speaking health. I'm speaking strength. I'm speaking peace. I'm speaking that those little wrapped up things that are set against joy, I break it. I'm speaking against the stuff that's kept you in bondage, my brother. And I speak to you the fullness of God's goodness and mercy. Receive it, okay? Receive it. Receive it. Every one of you. Every one of you. I drive you crazy with that camera, I'm sorry. But, Father, this is your family. I don't know why you chose us, but you do. And you don't make a mistake, because you're God. And I just ask that you impart in every person here that they can know that you're special, all right? Not like Special Olympics, but special, all right? Because you have the will of God working in your life. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak blessings and I speak protection. I call down angels to walk with every one of these people and keep them safe until they're home and beyond if they want it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, that the words that have been spoken, even if they come from me, Father, they're your words, and that they get in, just etched into the hearts that we can change. Because God, there's nobody here that's achieved what we've been called to do. Not a one of us. We work towards it. But Father, you cause us to prosper in your ways. And we submit to you. Jesus, you are Lord, and we submit to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that that homosexual spirit be crushed. I command it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you don't come back and tempt. I send an angel, and I command that that demon be taken to the abyss and thrown in until it faces the Lord's judgment. In the name of Jesus Christ, and an angel to keep my brother safe. In the name of Jesus Christ, and don't look down your nose You know, this band's been set free tonight. And we want to stay that way. And it's a terrible, terrible thing, isn't it, to be caught in that trap? But you know what? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be set free. Amen. So whatever bondage is set against you, it doesn't make any difference. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to recite a prayer. I want you to recite it with me, okay? And we'll close it up. Stand up in the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I love you. Forgive me for my weaknesses, my stubbornness, and my unbelief. But Lord God Almighty, I know you called me. And I know that without your help, I cannot even touch what you've called me to do. But I know with you that all things are possible. And if you don't agree with this, sit down. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that I will go out and do something different this week. Lead me. Lead me. And I break the authority of fear. And that I can go and love the unlovable. And see your miracles in my life. Help us not to be counterfeit Christians. That we have signs, miracles, and wonders following after us. And that you get the glory. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you and we declare that you and your Son are our sufficiency and our strength, our provision, and our every need abundantly taken care of. And we glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Or as they say in Romania, Amen. Well, I love you. If anybody needs hands-on prayer, I'll be glad to do it, okay?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.